We're about to hear your second viola concerto. Is there anything you can tell us about that?
Well, this was written for Tabea Zimmermann, the German soloist who's playing it on this recording, and it was jointly commissioned by the Swedish and Scottish chamber orchestras. And at the time of writing it, I'd just done a setting for narrator and piano trio of the Anglo-Saxon poem The Seafarer, which is in a 10th century codex in Exeter Cathedral. Is amazing poem about life's journey, really, and it's making the allegory of a sea journey, which is a very Nordic thing to do. And if you go into Scandinavian churches, you see boats hanging up in the nave, and that's why it's called the nave, it's naval, you know. It was absolutely fascinating. The translation I was working with was made by a writer who's half Scottish and half Swedish, so he was using a lot of Scottish words, a lot of Swedish imagery. And also there's the wonderful Anglo-Saxon alliteration that goes on through the whole poem, which was a very musical thing for me to draw on. And I decided to use the material that I'd used for this piano trio version and expand it into a much bigger piece. And just as I was beginning work on the piece, the conductor who was to have conducted the premiere died very suddenly. He was the husband of Tabea Zimmermann, David Chalon. And this was a huge shock, obviously. And I wanted to dedicate the piece to his memory. And it seemed all the more poignant, really, to write a piece about life's journey and heaven's haven at the end and dedicate it to David. So with Tabea's permission, I did that. And the last movement is really an elegy for David. It's a sort of meditation.
And is there narration in that we're going to hear in this concerto?
Not with a voice, but definitely with the viola. The viola, there are wave shapes, there are the calls of birds, there are spirits, and all the imagery from the poem is very clearly there. There's a heartbeat in the middle movement. There's also a cuckoo, which I've actually, because I put it on a low bassoon, it doesn't sound like a cuckoo, but it's there. And the cuckoo was a very threatening bird in those times. It represented foreboding and bad things, and the same with the whale also, that it wasn't the sort of lovely, beautiful animal that we were so inspired by. It was a frightening thing because people didn't understand what it was. They just knew it was huge, more huge than they could imagine. And so there were also the calls of whales, the calls of seabirds, gannets and gulls. And they kind of pervade the whole piece, and it opens with the kind of setting off to sea with the viola, just the solo viola, just with a bass line, just making little waves which get bigger and bigger as the movement develops. The three movements are all marked andante, and this happened because I wrote the piece over a period of about 6 months, but I only had short spans to work on it, and I was sending it off to my copyist as I wrote each movement. And I totally forgot. As I started the next movement, I forgot that the last one was andante too. So what I did was I gave each movement a different character, because andante actually means going, moving, walking. And that was very pertinent to it being about a journey. So the first one is a reflective andante. The middle one is a malevolent andante with the cuckoo and the cries of banshees. And the last movement is really a meditative andante, which draws on all the material from the first two movements and makes little cadenzas for the viola with a sort of chorale-like refrain in the orchestra.